In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Scriptures, they use this phrase, this description, a number of different times of a hard heart. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Ezekiel uses a phrase, hearts of stone. So if you literally think like taking a rock from outside and putting it inside your chest, that's what he says our hearts are. Or Zechariah says of Israel and Judah that they have a diamond-hard heart. That we have to wrap our minds around a little bit because we think, well, that must be really valuable, right? You think like jewelry, this diamond heart or something. But no, in this case, a diamond-hard heart is a very bad thing. A hard heart is something that is unfeeling, has no love for God, and has no love for other people, only love for oneself. Now today, this is a little bit disconcerting for us Christians because we're seeing a lot more hard-heartedness directed toward us. And this is happening not only in American culture, but actually in culture all around the world, European culture, and there's very much a real hard-heartedness toward God and toward us who believe in God. So we get called all kinds of names, ignorant, fundamentalists, we're bigots, racists, right-wingers, you know, whatever name you want, right? A Christian baker in Oregon who bakes cakes for weddings is told, you know, that she will bake a cake for a same-sex wedding, whether she likes it or not, and if she doesn't, she's going to be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's hard-heartedness. Or a Christian, in fact, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod judge in Wyoming, just nonchalantly tells another co-worker that she would have trouble performing a wedding, same-sex wedding, and she, charges are brought up against her, and she is censured for this, even though there are plenty of other judges who are more than willing to do it. There's a real hard-heartedness there. Or a Christian pastor, in fact, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, Jonathan Fisk, is invited a month ago to Washington University. He's invited by some students to give a really harmless talk on children, marriage and children. And he is heavily protested. In the student newspaper, they write articles about him, calling him every name under the sun. This is a Missouri Synod pastor, I say again, make sure you understand, calling him a bigot, a racist, homophobic, transphobic. And then when on the night he is to give his speech, they protest so loud that they could hardly even hear him giving the speech in the lecture hall. There is a real hard-heartedness going on. Now, here's the thing, though. I think where we Christians forget something is we tend to think this is new. And that's partly because in America it is new. We haven't seen that kind of hard-heartedness here in our own country and maybe even in our own lifetimes. But it really is not new. This is not like all of a sudden something that's come out of nowhere. That's why the Bible is talking about constantly hard-heartedness. Two of our scripture readings this morning show that this hard-heartedness has been around for a long time, even back all the way to Moses, and certainly during the time of Jesus. So I'm going to look briefly at those so you see what I mean. You probably know these both of these pretty well, so I don't have to belabor the point, but I want to make sure I explain here. Pharaoh is by far, in the Bible, the guy who is described as hard-hearted the most of anybody. Because you remember, Pharaoh is, of course, leader of Egypt. The Israelites are slaves there, and God is asking through Moses for Pharaoh to let them go. But he is over and over. God gives him chance after chance after chance, and Pharaoh just simply will not repent. His heart is hard. It's like a stone against God. And so in our text today, we get two plagues. The first one, gnats. And just think about it for a second. I know you've thought about these plagues before, but you know, if you ever walk through where there's like a swarm of gnats and you have to walk through and it's really disgusting, can you imagine that all over your house? You're eating in swarms of gnats, sleeping in swarms of gnats. And yet, even the magicians, you know, Pharaoh tells the magicians, well, you guys do that too. They say, we can't do this. This is the finger of God. Even the magicians, their hearts are softening. But not Pharaoh. His heart is like a rock solid stone. And he says, no way will I let them go. And so then the next plague that God gives in our reading there is flies. And again, you know, just we like have a picnic outside and we got like 10 flies around our food and they're just, we think this is so gross. I mean, just imagine flies all over your food. Not, you're taking a bite and you not even know if you're going to get a fly on the bite, or trying to sleep with flies all over your face. This is what they were going through. And yet still, Pharaoh's heart is absolutely hard against God. He will not let them go. That's hard-heartedness toward God. And then in the gospel reading, Jesus, he drives out this demon that was making a man mute. He couldn't talk. And everybody is, it says, everybody is marveling. They can't believe it. They knew this guy couldn't talk. All of a sudden, they're hearing him talk. But some people immediately say, no, no, no. He's just Satan. This Jesus must be Satan. He drives out demons by the prince of demons. He's Beelzebul, Lord of the flies. Now think about that, just how hard your heart has to be. Here is God himself in person driving away demons, and they say, you're Satan, calling God Satan. And this really hit, this is hard, I think, for us Christians to accept. It really hits home, and it drives us crazy when we know Jesus is the best thing that everybody in this world needs. Everybody needs Jesus. He is the ultimate good in all of creation, and yet people call him the ultimate evil. This is so hard for us to accept. It's like hearing them calling Jesus Satan. And this idea persists today. In fact, I've heard it recently, and it's scary. This idea that if only Jesus had never lived, we wouldn't have all these ignorant, horrible Christians causing such problems. And if you think I'm off my rocker about that, pardon me for telling you this, but I think you should know. A week or two ago, there was a demonstration in Argentina where they actually did a mock demonstration there where they had a lady dressed up as the Virgin Mary, and they were trying to show that if she had aborted Jesus, the world would be a better place. That's horrid. We know here is Jesus, the ultimate Savior of all people, and yet so many hearts that are just hard as stone against him. Now, what do we do about this? What do we do as Christians? There is a real temptation for us to get a hard heart back at them. We say, oh yeah, you know, you're going to treat us like that? You're going to call us those names? Well, we got some names for you, right? And that's the temptation, to make our hearts hard against them and be unloving toward others. But of course, look what Jesus does. How does Jesus defeat hard-heartedness? Not by having a hard heart against us, calling us names. He defeats hard-heartedness by literally giving his heart. His heart on the cross stopped beating for us. That's how he defeats hard-heartedness. He didn't win by turning hard-hearted against the world, but by loving the world. And think about our own selves now. Ezekiel, he has a verse where God is speaking to the people, and he says that we have these hearts of stone. We don't love as we should. We're only concerned with ourselves. We don't love God, don't love our neighbors. But God says in Ezekiel there, he says, I will take your heart of stone and give you in its place a heart of flesh. And that heart, of course, is the heart of Jesus. That's what God does for you and me. In the forgiveness of our sins, he removes our hard hearts that are clouded by sin and death, that are hardened by sin and death, and he gives us the heart of Jesus. In baptism, he takes our sin, our sinful heart away, right? Creates in us a new and clean heart, gives us the heart of Jesus. In the Lord's Supper, he gives us the very heart that Jesus gave on the cross, his body and blood, under the bread and the wine, so that we can have this heart of love, this heart of peace. So Paul tells you and I in the epistle reading, don't walk around with a hard heart. Walk in love, he says, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, it's a weird kind of image there, but Paul says that Jesus was, he smelled good. The sacrifice that Jesus gave, his love, it smelled good to God. It's kind of funny to think about that. You know, we never want to stink. We are very serious about it. We do not want to stink. So we're going to take showers every day. We're going to put deodorant on, body spray, perfume, cologne, you know, everything we can think. We do not want to stink. But Paul says, this can stink too. Your heart can stink. And Jesus' heart was a fragrant offering to God. And our hearts are too when they are filled with the love of Jesus Christ, when they're not hardened toward God and our neighbor. So Paul says, don't walk in this like you're powerful and prideful. Walk with Christ. Walk with a heart that is softened by love and compassion that smells good. And then he says, beware though, Christians, beware. Because Satan has some nets that are set out for you and he wants to trap you. Jesus has given you a new heart, but Satan wants to harden that heart again. And so Paul says, beware of his traps. And he names three specifically, sexual immorality, impurity, and coveting. Beware of these sins, because what they do, when Satan gets you trapped in those nets, then your heart turns in only on yourself again. Then your heart gets hardened by your own arrogance, and you don't love God, and you don't love your neighbor as you should. So finally then, I would just remind you, I think it's just such an awesome Sunday that it's called Eyes Sunday. Oculing, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. Psalm 25, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. When Satan sets these traps for us, these nets, and we're about to get caught into them, Psalm 25 says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. We keep our eyes on Christ our Savior and walk in love the way he has loved us. We walk with his heart, a heart of love and compassion. And of course, the way we fix our eyes on him is through his word, through prayer, through going to church, being in Bible study, through meditating on his word. Through all of these things, we have the heart of Jesus. And that is a heart, Christians, that is desperately needed in our world today. There is plenty of hardness out there. And we would do very well for ourselves and everyone around us to walk in a heart of love that is ours in Jesus our Savior. In his name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.